So thank you for resting. Thank you for savoring. Thank you for being. Thank you for absolutely no reason. So let's open it up to sharing what we're noticing or what you're sitting with. What do you all notice? So to unmute yourself, you press *6. And when it feels complete, *6 again.
Hi, Pamela.
Yes.
This is Marie.
Hey, Marie.
Hello. What I'm just noticing and been sitting with within myself and for a while now is I seem to be carrying a lot of stress in the body.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't seem to matter what I do, you know. And I guess I just don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's accurate. And God is also confessing it doesn't know how to deal with it, right? Does that resonate?
Yeah.
So now, who knows how to be with it is the body. The body is where the deeper wisdom is. So just to the body, just bowing to it. And even if it's not sincere, can you thank the stress? Because from stress's point of view, it's protective.
Yeah.
And what's noticed just in those few moments of respect or honoring or...
There's a little more stillness, I think, you know, a little less agitation.
Okay, so just a few thank yous to that. Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Yeah, it gets confusing if the body knows how to take care of it, you know, and yet it's not. It feels like I don't understand that.
Okay, yes. And so is it you that doesn't understand or the mind?
It would be the mind.
So tell it doesn't have to understand the body. I mean, even scientists don't understand the body. Would it be all right if the mind knew itself? I mean, sorry, if the body knew itself? We're just bringing the sovereignty back from the mind to the body.
Okay.
I'm just honoring the body again. So we're honoring the natural presence of the body or the intelligence of the body. And how is it now?
I still feel, just a lot of just tightness, a lot of tightness.
Okay. Now, no one has ever succeeded in getting rid of the tightness because it's your natural strength. But that if we move against the tightness, then it knows we're sending signals that we don't know what is by moving against the tightness. So then it tightens to keep us safe because it senses a lack of discernment in us. Now, only a sage would think tension and tightness. So when we do that, the tightness goes, ah, I don't have to worry about her. She's fine. So that's all we're doing. And just thinking, and it doesn't have to be sincere. We're just in the absence of trying to fire everything, in the absence of trying to get rid of tightness. All the defenses start to unwind, so to speak. And what's noticed in this moment?
Oh, just thoughts, you know, that we're coming up about. It's just hard to be with it, you know, to not push against it.
Oh, thought is saying that. But
yeah, in that moment, that's what it was. I could hear the mind sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, so just check below the nose. How does tension itself, thought is always generous with its opinions. But what does, how is the body or the tension in this moment? Either way is fine.
Yeah.
And if it resonates to the tension, you could say your strength is welcome here. Because if there was just relaxed, rooted strength, would that be enjoyable and supportive?
What, just the strength is welcome here?
Well, if tension relaxed back into its true nature of relaxed, rooted strength, would awareness and the body like that?
No, of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So that's its nature. So just let it know its strength is welcome here to the tension. Because tension is supportive, and when it feels that we're shakable, it'll increase itself to balance our apparent shakability. Kind of like a law of nature. It's like one tree root will spread out in a different direction from the other tree roots to stabilize the tree. Yeah? So I too was a very shakable embodiment, so there's no judgment about remaining stress or tension. So we're just soothing it, thanking it, inviting it to know itself as pure strength.
I mean, that is what feels like it's been going on is it just seems like that it's just, it is trying to more and more protect itself, yet, you know, obviously it's creating a lot of, you know, problems within that.
Yeah. And how does it respond when you honor it as pure strength? Because that's the essence of tension.
You know, I can find myself trying to find it, you know, and just sort of trying to sense into that.
Oh, yeah, don't bother with that. Once again, we're letting the body do all the work, because the body is life itself. Of course, we are as well. But we don't have to know anything or sense anything. We're just inviting in this moment tension to reveal itself as pure strength. Natural strength. And nobody has to do anything.
Yeah, I get really stuck with that. There's always that feeling or sense that I have to do something.
Yes, but that's the mind's confession, because it, in school, if it didn't do something, it would get in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell the mind, this is satsang. We don't have to do anything. We're just being curious. And the mind just wants to, out of love, fix things and make it all better and get rid of things and figure everything out.
Yeah.
So bowing to the body, I know you probably love nature, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you include your body in that love? Honoring it as nature itself. Just for a second, it doesn't have to be sincere, because thought, this is an old argument that thought has with the body.
Well, that's for sure.
And it's not personal to you. I mean, thought is always up there in the attic going, well, this is not okay, and this is okay, and that's not okay. And yeah. Yeah, so maybe if it resonates while you're here with all of us, just find some areas in the body you can adore or thank, and just keep moving around the body as devotion and gratitude, and just see. And if the mind thinks it's all ridiculous, just thank it. How's that?
Yeah, that'll be good.
And thank you for your patience with me. I can, in your emails, I just got back from Europe, so we will correspond.
Okay, good.
Okay, love.
All right, thank you.
Much love.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Hi, how are you? It's Rosie.
Rosie, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good.
Hey,
my dog sends her
tomorrow?
Regards.
Ah, Thea. Yeah. Happy birthday, beloved. I know
Thank
it's your birthday
you, dear.
Tomorrow, right? Yeah. Okay, so I had like a pretty cool experience last night. I've been kind of bothered because I've been kind of thinking, who is it that's talking to who? You know, that's been kind of like going through me for a while. And I started realizing that there was like an interpreter.
Yes.
Telling me about me, right? And that kept bugging me. And then I remembered you said the role of Pamela. And then that, I kept kind of going back and forth. And then I realized that everyone's in their own reality. And my brain is just like a neurology of things. You know what I mean? It's just like I have no control over what the brain remembers, or it's just gonna do that. It's just gonna collect information. It's like a computer, and it's gonna tell me, oh, don't do this because that happened, but none of it is really actually happening. You know, it's like an interpretation of me, and I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I want to be. So then I thought, well, that's what they call the false self, right? It's like this interpreter. So then that's not real.
Right.
It's not that it's an illusion, because an illusion is something that's not there at all. The brain is existing. But I'm experiencing everything all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what's real.
Lovely.
So I have a sense of freedom that I feel when I, with that kind of understanding, because it's a really cool understanding, because it's what everybody's been saying, really, but I had to do it my own way.
Exactly, and that's much more precious when it's in-house, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the thing for me is that I'm not feeling completely free. Like, I feel awake a little bit, like I really feel wide awake. Like, my brain feels like it's white. That doesn't bother me. It's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this sense of like, well, if I'm experiencing everything, I haven't quite understood it. If I'm experiencing everything all the time, and there is no interpreter, really, because it's just a neurology, neural net, then everyone else is doing that. So then I'm experiencing everything, and everything's experiencing me, and I can't seem to just let go and dive into that, because everything is all just happening. I don't need to interpret it. I don't need to be with the identity of me or the identity of others. I'm just being.
There you go.
Experiencing.
So then maybe you don't need to dive into anything. Maybe you are the depths and the big space already.
That's what I'm not feeling, because there's this feeling like there's this big balloon that was popped and I'm stuck with the broken balloon.
Yes.
Yeah, so or like that, you know? I was like, when I was a kid driving in they take me to these parks and they put me on these little car rides and I thought I was really going to drive, you know, and and then I realized I'm not driving anything. I'm just going in circles, and then I'm looking at the adults in charge and they're smiling. I'm pissed off at them because they put me on the ride. And I really wanted to drive, you know. Like, I have no control over any of this. What is happening? I'm just being? This is ridiculous.
Well, it's lovely, because in that you taking your hands off the wheel, the little imaginary wheel, then
right.
There's more space for everything to unwind. At least
okay,
that was
yeah,
my experience.
That's why, yeah, I wanted to talk to you, because I figured that was the, I'm not able to really, I'm not able to relax, because all along, really my desire, my true desire was to know God and to heal. I'm physically not well, haven't been for a while. So my computer brain was necessary. I don't go against me.
Yeah.
For me to collect information. You know?
Intelligence, yeah.
So, I don't know how the spaceless, there's a missing piece here for me.
Well,
or not, I don't know.
There's definitely not anything missing, because you're the totality, of course. But, you know, that little broken balloon?
Right.
Bits.
Yeah.
They
this
kind of crystallized out of devotion, you know. It was all circling you, the beloved, to trying to protect you and keep you safe and inform you and interpret for you. And so, of course, we don't need all that. But this is where the sage sort of just says thank you, really. And then everything kind of unwinds.
And it's all just happening?
Yeah, it all, you know, that noticing happened by itself, and then the unwinding happens by itself. And I have to confess, sages and saints have definitely worked the gratitude and devotion, because that does affect the body-mind.
Right.
You know, Rumi and all those guys, they're like, thank you for the leaf, thank you for the water, thank you for the this. There's a, can you hear that blue jay in the background? He's squawking.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a blue jay. He's saying, where are my sunflower seeds?
Right, so there's this feeling that I'm not separate from anything, and all along I've been actually living separately, and others as well, and we're not.
Exactly.
Right, so there
we in our little balloon bubble of our role and our ideas about ourselves. And
so I wasn't able to, no matter even if I went to, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And just accomplish, not accomplish, go to school, don't go to school. What is the point of all of this? Why am I even here?
Well, it, life
this
is
where
about
I feel
following its own interests. But you're right, when in hindsight, a lot of it was ridiculous, unnecessary, and overscripted. For sure.
Yeah. I feel disappointment, I guess. And at the same time, there's a sense of freedom.
Lovely.
Because I don't have to play along. And I'm going to take your advice and feel the gratitude as much as I can. But I guess I might be, you know, able to understand better now and be just grumpy about it for a little while.
Very nice. I like including grumpy.
Yeah. I'm a little grumpy pants.
Why not? Sages are free. Free to be grumpy, free to be whatever.
I know. Well, any advice for me, Pamela?
I notice whenever this, there's a buildup of grumpiness, and with good cause, when you look back and you realize that the role play was not nourishing and et cetera, there's a natural, like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then life draws our awareness to the light on the leaves and the dog running along the beach, or it brings us back to the, like, ordinary enjoyment, which allows us to recover from all the role play nonsense.
And what's this word, phenomenal? I keep hearing that. I don't really even know what that is.
Oh, yeah. Anytime there's a long word, I thank
yeah.
it, but I don't touch it. But that's just pointing
right.
to the world of form. So some sages like to talk. I had to look up this word because I didn't know what they were talking about. The
right.
numinous, meaning the formless, and then the phenomenal, meaning the form. But
oh.
it's just the intellect trying to make distinctions to bring awareness to unity, oneness. So that's why I stopped reading the books and I just read mysteries.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's been helpful, because I admire the intellect, and it's been contemplative intellect, really, but
beautiful.
It's more at a point where you can't give the words, and everybody says that. I mean, I'm experiencing everything, experiencing at once. That's not something you could actually explain.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Beautiful noticing. Yay. Freedom.
Yay. Excellent. Okay. I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ben.
Hello.
So I guess this thing that's been coming up for me last night and then this morning as I was sitting is this, what feels like this really basic, just sort of like tamping down of my life energy.
Yeah.
Of my like life force. And it just feels like something that I picked up from how everybody else around me was acting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was sitting this morning and it was just like, what are we all so afraid of?
Lovely, beautifully said.
But there is this fear. It's like I'm gonna be too big, or I'm gonna be like explosive, or
you'll be uncontained, and who knows what will happen.
Yeah, there's some real fear around that.
Yes, yeah, and it's an innocent misunderstanding, and it is, as you're beautifully noticing, a group held belief.
Right,
not
it's like
to relax, open.
It's like we feel like we're going to be punished or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's asking you if it's safe.
Mm.
And just see you as the sage. What do you say to that?
You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we could check it out in the moment. How's that?
Sure.
Yeah, so just there in the privacy of your home, just allow presence or stillness or whatever your favorite word is to relax into the space around the body. And if there's, I call it a containment app that doesn't let you do that, you tell me and...
Yeah, I do have one of those, I think.
Yeah. Now, that's protective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so just thank containment itself for trying to keep you safe. It's like the sage just bows to all the protections encircling it.
That's nice. That feels really good.
Yeah. And then just as if presence itself is sort of stretching. No big deal, it's just being curious about the space around the body. Felt or noticed?
I guess what's noticed is that there's nothing constricting me.
Ah, very nice. Yes.
Like that any sense of constriction is like you said, is an app.
Yeah. So here we are now for fun. Just get really big. It's like all of a sudden, you know, the top of your formless head could brush against the moon or something, and you could, just for fun,
okay,
or explore down the block.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. So, originally, fear, that group-held fear, was asking you, is it safe to relax open and be vastness?
Yeah.
So what's your felt?
There's something really deep in my chest that just is noticing that it's okay to not make myself small.
Beautiful. Thank you, because you also invite all of us just by you noticing that. You're the walking confirmation now that it's okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. That just goes all the way in. It just feels like there's like sadness there, you know, like for everybody that's doing that.
Yeah. And just bowing to that, that's you as compassion saying, my goodness, no need to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It feels like such a child, you know, like that sort of, I guess sort of the fear of, in some sense, standing on my own 2 feet,
mm-hmm.
and in my own, you know, there's still a child that feels like it needs to fit in with, get with the program and sort of fit in with what everybody else around is doing.
And that's innocent, and underneath it just wanted oneness, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that sweet? It wanted to return back to its oneness and just bowing to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely what was going on.
So this is why I so trust longing. There was this natural longing that was insistent in you about uncontaining yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And now here, that longing for that felt sense of oneness, innocence brought that to your satsang.
Mm-hmm.
And it's asking you, is it okay to live as that? Have the felt sense of experiencing that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. And can we just go into the belly and you just tell me what you notice there, because the last longing that was mentioned by naturalness through you, as you, was to stand on my own 2 feet.
Hmm.
So that gift is often hidden in the belly area. We don't have to know anything. We're just being curious.
Yeah, there's a lot of power there.
Oh, yeah. And just bowing to it or letting it know that you notice it.
I'm afraid of it. That's interesting.
Yeah. Now that's natural. It's a healthy respect, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if you and I were walking in Africa and we saw a lion, we'd go, ha-ha, hello.
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. So bowing to that remarkable power there, it's life itself.
That's lovely.
And does it uncontain itself as well?
Yeah, it kind of feels like it wants to stretch its legs.
There you go.
Kind of see what it's about, you know?
Yes.
I think one thing that's really difficult like culturally speaking, is there's not a lot of sort of positive embodiments of, like, especially like masculine power.
Yes.
It's presented as like violent or aggressive or not otherwise sort of not not really okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's the, you know, the mind's projection on pure strength and power.
Mm.
And also some discernment, that was beautifully spoken, the discernment about the human version of power, which is often aggressive and violent. So you can ask this power to let you feel its neutrality or its harmlessness or whatever you're curious about.
Yeah, I mean it's like there's a it can be really gentle.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah. That makes sense because absolute strength would also have absolute gentleness. It wouldn't have to prove anything.
Right.
Make a big show or
right. Like strength that can't tolerate getting its way is not very strong.
Beautifully said. Yes. So just bowing to this, and it uncontains itself and then roots, because it already is the unshakable one.
Hmm. Yeah, it just kind of feels like it's unwrapping itself or unfurling in the belly.
Wonderful. Yeah, we can see why the body, there was so much big presence in the body, but kind of disguised as protection or containment.
Yeah.
So it's like we had galaxies in our body and it was in too small a space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay, indeed. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. It was always there, but I think that labeling function in the mind is so helpful at obscuring the treasures, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you for your beautiful satsang.
Thank you.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes?
It's Charlie from Berkeley.
Hey, Charlie.
Can you hear me on the speakerphone without static? Because it's hard for me to hold the phone to my ear.
Yeah, no worries. I can hear you.
Okay. So I just wanted to notice that when you were speaking to Rosie and we're talking about in-house, you know, rather than have someone tell you from the outside, and I realize, you know, when you dialogue happens, it always has to come from the inside.
Yes.
You know, for you to hear. I mean, it's all when that sort of sense of oneness, when the words are taken in. And also, in-house, I thought of the greenhouse. That
oh, I like that.
People in satsang, there are these dormant seeds that people don't, and there's some light that shines on it in the satsang, and then each person, their own seeds start growing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that. I've never considered that. Because it's true, each one of our bodies, because they're heated to 98.6, is the perfect greenhouse environment.
Right, right.
I never considered that.
So also I have my what always arises for me is I'm very good at this meditating and getting insights when I do inquiry, but there is a conditioning of not having social connections, also being totally uncontained. In fact, I was at something where we were doing dyads, and there was a mirror right across from me, and I'm looking at that and saying, "Who is that?" but it's to an extreme degree of not. There's some way one needs to know I am, you know, at least this is the vehicle I have, or this is what life is coming through, that this particular image or body, and I'm so unconnected that, I mean, that it's...
But I'm just wondering, Charlie, if that last little bit about I'm so unconnected would be the mind's confession, that the mind is not connected to the body. The mind feels separate. And
well,
thus we get to share that experience.
Wait, I lost you. The mind is disconnected from the body.
Yeah, the mind is confessing, I don't feel connected with the body. And that's the confession of the mind under pressure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the degree then that I am in, there's a sense of depression, and I have a lot of physical conditions, and sometimes
yeah.
I arise to deal with them, and the degree that I've neglected myself, they're getting worse, and I more, when I'm a lot of times live in that depressive, I don't give a hoot, just let, you know, there's a giving, a profound giving up that, in a way, sitting in satsang, you don't have to do anything.
That's you're right. Sitting. It's the perfect environment for you.
Right, right. But you know, there is a reason we are manifesting as whoever.
So I'll just share what has worked here, which is to work with my nature. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So here I also was a hermit type and not social, and I work with that. You see? And also before I was not a practical being, so I didn't take care of what needed to be practical, what needed to be. So now I recognize that and include that. And I don't try and fight against it, but I inquire into what would allow the natural practicality of presence, the natural, the naturalness of presence to take over. Yeah, because the role is not meant to be fully functional, and that's grace. If our roles were fully functional, then they would never kind of shred and subside and allow us to notice who we are deeper than that. Yeah, so it's actually grace, oddly enough. So could you just allow grace and presence to kind of take care of everything?
I think...
Really just an inner yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, rather than say yes, but yes, yes, and
yeah.
There is, I think, the beautiful thing about satsang is you take everyone's, you know, dialogue as one's own. As I, you know, was told, fear was spoken about, and there's a way. I think I have so avoided dealing with fear, and I walk my little aloof path. I mean, I live in a building and then there's 160 people, and there's a lot of, you know, nice people I could be friends with, and I just, it's just not, there's, I don't make the, go out of my familiar patterns.
But just bow to all those protective patterns. You cannot get them to go away. Nobody has ever gotten them to go away. But we can thank them for their heartfelt desire to keep you safe at any cost. And if that means being a hermit, you know, I still notice my hermit protective tendencies.
But see, I'm not really, I have to go out and go to a supermarket or someplace and watch people. And I love, you know, I go places where there's people and I just either sit in my car or sit at a cafe and watch people, you know.
Lovely.
Look at the sea.
Yeah.
But there is a way of, I'm creating them. I mean, you know, the people walk by and whatever I know about, I mean, it, just looking at them and being amazed by just the variety, but there's something, I'm sort of the whole field and there's no Charlie there, so it's safe. No, no one's looking.
I see.
No one's looking at me. I go to the Sikh temple and I.
Charlie. You just expressed a very beautiful quality that presence enjoys.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Which is,
so I would notice that too. That I would enjoy when I was at the airport. There would be this sense of space and freedom. And I got curious about it one day, and I went, oh, I'm experiencing the impersonal, so there's no Pamela on her stage set and people knowing her. You're just this wonderful gazing presence, and an impersonal love starts to arise, doesn't it?
Yeah, there is, sometimes it's, there's just what's out there, and I don't. There's no feeling inside.
Yeah.
There's just.
That's right. There's just gazing.
Just gazing, yeah. And there is sometimes seeing the little babies at the Sikh temple crawling around way far from their parents. You do see that, and there's just overall reverence there. So I mean, but in general, like there's a background that. People, life is so interesting, and people, you know, each individual is unique and quirky and going about, you know, being whoever they are, and it's.
I love that you have just spoken so exquisitely, Charlie. A background reverence. Now I'm just wondering if that's who you are. Maybe you're the background reverence that never comes and goes.
Okay, all right. I see. You know, okay. There is. I think that's. There's a little hanging I have outside my door about the Dalai Lama saying never give up, and in America people spend too much time developing in mind, and they need to develop compassion, the heart. And not just for your friends, but compassion for everyone.
Yes, and there you're noticing it's the constancy in the background.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's who you are. That's the only thing that doesn't come or go, that quiet, benevolent space in the background.
I'm, as we're talking, I'm definitely feeling well, my heart and belly and feeling, there's a consciousness of the sun shining on this being, and there's an opening.
Wow. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll still be listening, though, here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the background listening, too. You'll never go away.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Could you go into more detail about working with grace and presence, asking them to help you be practical? Because I notice that is something I am lacking in.
Okay,
my role is lacking in.
But just see if the mind has decided that about you.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, because the mind apparently likes to collate a file on the deficiencies of the embodiment.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah, apparently the mind in each one of us likes to write up a file on what could be enhanced in the embodiment. Or what is lacking? Does
yes.
that resonate? The mind has a file on Mary or a file on Pamela and going, well, you know, she's great, but...
yeah. Or maybe not what is not great, but what is totally lacking.
There you go. Yeah, usually it's more like that, unfortunately. Yeah, so just thank the mind's file.
Okay.
Yeah. And just invite the role to rest. Because the role just wants the best for us, the mind just wants the best for us, but they're all too tired to function well. And we just say, rest, rest. Presence is going to just take care of everything. Practical presence.
And the mind has almost an indignant response. What do you mean? Grace, presence are taking care of everything.
Well, ask the mind if it would also like to live and know itself as grace. Because grace is just another word for life or naturalness or unconditioned.
Yes.
And honoring all the gifts the mind have given us, all that bright, shiny intelligence.
Yeah, my connection is not good, and so I'm going to ask you to repeat again.
Yes, no worries. Just thanking the mind for no reason or any reason.
Yes.
That allows it to rest, doesn't it? It's amazing. Gratitude is like the best food for the mind.
I heard, does that allow it to rest some? And I'd say yes.
Yeah, that's it. And can you see you as presence are neither practical nor impractical? Because that would be more in the realm of the personality that functions well when rested and functions less well when overwhelmed or...
Oh, now I understand what you mean when you say it's not the opposite. It's... When we're looking at what is from presence and grace standpoint, we're not practical or impractical. Okay.
Yay!
finally. Okay, now I understand.
That's what I love about the opposites, because if there is an opposite, for me it invites me to look at what's behind both the polarities. And then I always find the deeper truth just sort of resting there, and I go, oh, that's so helpful.
Yes.
Like behind joy and sorrow, there's a deeper heart.
I knew we were doing that. It hadn't really dawned yet.
That's right. It doesn't matter. We're not in a rush, luckily. We're eternal. Yay! That is so delicious. See, so then anytime the mind decides or judges you, the embodiment and presence, you know, you can look and see, like, if it says, well, you're this, you can look at what's behind both. And then it's no fun for the mind to judge and label you anymore or project on you, because, you know, here it says that I was a fool, and I would go, yes, you're right, but I'm also a sage. I'm wise and foolish. So then it's no fun for the mind to label me anymore, because I can agree with pretty much everything.
Yeah, and even things that seem to the mind to be so clear, like the body feeling stressed or feeling pain, one can look behind those also.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Pamela.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we have enough timelessness for another sharing, if anyone is so inclined.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pamela. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pamela. Happy birthday to you.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
Delicious. Anymore. A serenade. Wow. Thank you so much. So any other sage like to check in and share? What quiet sages we all are. Thank you, everyone. And we still have some timelessness.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
I guess my latest discovery is around an aversion that's sort of been creeping around the shadows. And I can't always find it or hear it. I just know that it's... it comes up and starts to bug me.
Okay.
And I would say that it's an aversion to sadness and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem is, of course, is that aversion gets into arguments with the sadness and makes it worse.
Okay.
But I don't always hear it verbally. It feels a much more... tucked away and hidden away, and like it really doesn't want to be found. And then I kind of discovered that this little battle between them creates a kind of misery, which seems to enjoy existence, enjoy being miserable, I mean.
Okay, but it's just really something that wants you to show its true nature underneath all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially as sages, if we're pestered by this lingering sorrow, it's just because it wants to give us a gift or notice a quality about ourselves that we haven't noticed.
Mm.
So could you just invite sorrow a little closer?
Yes, right here.
Right here, very good.
And right up front.
Yeah, and just ask it anything you're curious about. I, of course, always want to know who it is that it's so deep, but you would know best.
Yeah. Who it is.
Sorry, that's my dog protecting the Sangha. For no reason.
I thought so. Yes, I thought so. I felt very defended. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Who is it that it's so deep?
Yeah, because sorrow is certainly not shallow, right?
No. No, I think it's tenderness. It feels like it is tenderness itself, I suppose.
Yes.
Sweet.
And can we honor that?
Yes. There's a strange disconnect between this tenderness, though, and the sadness or sorrow that feels, it keeps saying things like, I wish I were dead, I wish I were dead.
Okay, but that's the I thought saying that. So the I thought wants to wake up too, return to its naturalness.
Yeah.
So just see who has its hand up in your satsang. Who's waving it at you? Is it the mind or the sorrow? Or it could be all one.
You know what it is? It is the I thought that wants to dissolve.
Yeah.
It's the I thought that wants to be dead.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to notice that because it always seems so personal, but it's really not us.
Mm.
Yeah, so in this moment, ask the mind just to look behind all its files and functions and ideas, and we guarantee its safety. So it's not going to go anywhere, but it's going to just die out of the habitual and the known and the uncomfortable. Would that be okay? Or just asking the mind?
Mm. Well, I mean, it's the irony is the mind is perfectly happy with not being alive anymore.
Yeah, but we want to help it discern because we want to keep the body, perfectly good body.
Yeah.
Then the I thought just relaxes out of its office space. No big deal. It just invite the mind just to stretch into its vastness.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing is that it does want to, it's not just a stretch for me, it wants to go backwards, it wants to fall down,
yes.
It wants to go home, it wants to never get up, it wants to be, and we've talked about it before, I do satsang all the time during the week, it just keeps rising back up, so.
But it's asking you, is it okay in this moment? And you go, yes, yes, yes. Why not? Relax back. Now, here's, even though satsang has happened many times with this movement, this is a really fresh satsang. So, if memory is coming, just thank it. And just...
Thank you.
And ask the mind what it notices when it relaxes back and puts its feet up. What does it notice?
I mean, it adores it. It is so tired.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, he's right. Now bow to its wisdom in relaxing back and putting its feet up. Just how wise you are. How wise you are to rest.
Maybe it's just a habit.
That's so true, that it puts its feet down and then goes back to work.
That's right.
Yeah. So now ask it to look behind doing and being, because that's where it arcs between going back into pure being, and then it rises up and goes into super doer again. So ask it to look behind doing and being.
Yeah, I don't think it can see that they're... It definitely feels like they're pretty rigid opposites in the mind's experience.
Can you say that again?
The mind is telling me that those things are opposite in its own experience, so it doesn't get it.
Yeah, so but ask it just to peek behind its habit of resting and then zipping around. You can just look behind. We're just inviting it to notice what doesn't come or go.
Oh.
What doesn't come or go?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you can see that there's something definitely that doesn't come and go.
Okay.
I think it still feels like it's watching that which doesn't come or go, but it
yes,
has to fall back
it.
Into it.
That's all right. Now, it doesn't have to fall anywhere, because that won't be its most favorite word.
Okay.
But it might be. Who knows? If you're a bungee cord jumper, falling might be very relaxing. So... ask the mind if it can notice that that's its home. That we're back to Charlie's, how did he say, benevolent background or devotional background.
Mm.
Can the mind notice that that's its unconditioned naturalness? Where it goes to rest and then springs forth from to become a super doer.
Mm. Yes, it does see it.
Aha. And we're just inviting the mind, if it could consider, it doesn't have to sign any contracts, living as that.
Yes, it wants to.
Yes.
It wants to. A little scared of it, but it wants to.
That's all right. Now, as far as I can tell, the mind is our only devotee, so to speak. So we're asking the mind, what does it need to feel safe just living as that? We want it to bring its remaining protests to satsang, its concerns.
It wants to make it wants to make sure that this body is free from suffering.
Okay. And how beautiful. Can you see it said, okay, I won't fully relax until I'm sure the body is free from suffering. Mm-hmm. Now, honor that. That's a big love there. It's going, I
won't
rest until... A big love.
Okay.
It's saying, I will postpone my deep rest to make sure that the body is okay.
Mm.
It's safe. Yeah, big sigh. Now we're just inviting the mind to notice maybe we all could rest. There doesn't have to be any postponing of resting. We're just inviting it to consider that.
It loves that idea.
Okay, great. So can you see its genius has made it an idea? So now invite it to go back into the background, its true nature. Can it notice the supreme intelligence is already deeply at rest?
Yes. Yeah, it understands, yes.
Okay, so ask it just to check it out, noticing it can be fully functional from its naturalness, from deep rest. That resonates, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
I think
there you go.
Even memory is remembering moments when it
very
had
good.
That.
Yeah, so everything is satisfied with that which doesn't come or go.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's all the mind was saying. It's all great to rest and then do and rest and then do. But it wasn't fully satisfied. It wants, I want to be that which doesn't come or go as well.
Mm.
Natural mind. Natural intelligence. Natural presence. And here it is, already here. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear. Beautiful satsang. And thank you for being so patient and steady with this one mind that is a great dancer.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Mm.
I'm also going to bow to all the other sages, the silent ones and the ones that have shared so beautifully. Thank you for enlivening this field of wisdom and love and presence that we all are just by being, by your very being. And I'm going to say thank you also to dear Kate and Open Circle for hosting us and turn the hosting back to you. So maybe Kate is deeply at rest as the background.
Can you hear?
There she is. We hear you now.
Thank you, Pamela, and thank you, everyone. And again, I apologize for the technical difficulties today. Something must be in retrograde. I did have a few folks that had difficulty. The sound was coming in and out. So I would like to suggest that it did seem to work. I had to call in myself using the flash phone. So I would suggest trying that, and that the directions for that are given when you register. So just want to put that out there. And also let folks know that Pamela will be joining us again on Sunday, September 6th, and again on Sunday, September 20th. And we also have two other folks joining us, so we have a full September schedule of Telesat songs. On the 13th, we have Catherine Ingram, and on the 27th, we have Neelam, who is returning with us.
Yeah, both highly recommended. Delicious.
Thank you. So, if folks would like to say hello or goodbye or whatever you are moved to say, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hey, Pamela.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Pamela. Love you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Pamela. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Kate.
Happy birthday.
Happy
Pamela.
Birthday.
Thank you, Pamela.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday, and thank you for all the gifts you give.
Likewise.
Love you. Love you.
Happy birthday, Pamela. Thank you.
Bye.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Pamela.
Birthday, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Love you. Thank you, beloveds, and thank you for my magnificent birthday song. So I will go feed the blue jay so he stops squawking and sign off now. Much, much love and gratitude.
Love to you.
Much love.
Thank you.
Bye.
Much love.
Thank you, Pamela, and enjoy the rest of your birthday weekend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And thank you. Bye. Thank you, everyone, and we hope to gather with you next time.
Thanks, Kate.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
You're welcome. Thank you. It is my pleasure.
Gratitude is the road out of here.
The road is deeper within. Yes. Thank you, dear.
All right. Blessings to you all.